This is the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, the podcast for small law firms who want to create a thriving legal practice. Each week, we'll uncover the ways that you can improve your referrals, your marketing, and your business operations, helping you to generate more revenue and elevating your life and your law practice. In each episode, we'll tap into some of the closest guarded secrets from industry titans, thought leaders, and legal specialists. We're glad that you've tuned in. And once again, it's time to help you become an ultimate attorney. Hey, everybody. Dre Redfern here.
And I'm Alexis Neely.
And welcome back to yet another episode of the Ultimate Attorney Podcast. So excited that you are here with us this week as we wrap up the year 2018 and really lay the groundwork and the foundation for really having a rockin' year of 2019, setting you up for success and all of the prosperity that you're looking for in your life and your legal practice.
Absolutely. And so today what we want to do is help you plan your best year yet in your law practice. And just to go back to the early days of my own law practice, I will say I really had no idea how to do this. And so I spent a tremendous amount of my time and energy wondering if I was on track and really scrambling a lot of the time. It felt like I was always going to run out of money. It felt like I was always running out of time. And I generally had, until I learned this process and like figured out this process really that we're going to share with you today. And I know Dre has his own version of this as well. I felt consistently stressed out. And then I would bring that to the office. I would bring that to my team. I was usually able to turn it off well enough so that my clients couldn't see it, but my family certainly saw it and my team members certainly saw it. And I was really feeling it. And it really made me wonder if I was cut out to be in business for myself. It had me oftentimes question, you know, even though I'm engaging a lot of clients, do I actually need to go back and get a job? Just because the stress of it was so much, it was so intense. And when I got clear on what we're going to share with you today so that you can map out your own best year yet, that shifted everything. All of a sudden, I was able to relax. I knew what I was supposed to be doing on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly basis. I didn't have this tension between, you know, when I'm with my kids thinking only about business and when I'm in the business thinking only about, should I be spending more time with my kids? Instead, I knew that what I was doing when I was doing it was the right thing. And I could sleep well at night. I knew I was making enough money. I knew exactly how many clients I needed for a full practice and how to get there. Everything just calmed down immeasurably. Do you have an experience like that as well, Dre?
Yeah, you know, I think that it's funny that you say this. When I went through and was just trying to start my businesses, I was taking everything that I could get. Yes. And, you know, in that feast of famine mode. And it's so difficult to really, you know, when you're in it and you're trying to make it work. And at that time, my wife and I were nearly $500,000 in credit card debt, not like debt total, that was credit card debt, funding a lawsuit. And really just like, you know, trying to start a new business, having one business destroyed, this whole massive ordeal that maybe we'll talk about in a future episode on reputation management, because I think that'd be a great one and our listeners would love it. But when you're in that sort of like, you know, that hamster wheel, just trying to make ends meet and trying to make ends meet and not taking that step back to really plan and get focused, each day really doesn't separate. They all sort of blend together. You constantly enter that feast of famine mode. Mm. When you can kind of take that step back, plan your years, your quarters, your months, your weeks, and your days, and it gives you so much more insight of where you were, the person that you were previously, the person that you are now, and the person that you're going to become. And obviously that also applies to your business and just giving you a lot more perspective. And then the other side of this too is if you're leading your legal business, which you are, if you're probably listening to this, is that your team is looking for leadership. And by implementing these sort of like planning and setting your year up and for your days, your months, your years, all of these things, it gives your team much more confidence in you and the direction and that they're following you and that basically you are leading by example and not sort of just that you know, feast of famine sort of example set, which really doesn't make any sort of good examples, but it doesn't also really tell your team or show your team the quality of leader that you really could be.
Yeah, it's really true. And, you know, talking about your team and leadership here for a minute, when you have clarity about your specific goals and outcomes, and then you share that with your team, if you have a team, even if that team is just an assistant or an assistant and a paralegal, you share that with your team so that you're all on the same page about your goals. A lot shifts in your practice. There's, I think, a lot of lawyers who don't know this, right? You might think that you need to keep financial secret from your team members, or somehow that, you know, you're giving them tasks to do, but they don't really know how to tie those tasks to whether or not that is creating more success for your business, for your law practice. Everybody wants to be successful. And so when you can communicate clear measures of success, and I had no idea how to do this, by the way, when you can create clear measures of success and then communicate those to your team members, now they can be on your team. They can actually be on your team about hitting those measures of success. So what I want you to do is start to think about 2019, or if you're listening to this, you know, past 2019, and you're listening to archived episodes, whatever year is coming up. And I want you to start to think about this year from the perspective of how much do you need to take home from your practice? How much do you need to take home from your practice? And I really do mean need to take home from your practice. And I want you to get into the truth of what that number is, because a lot of times what lawyers are doing, people in general, this is not unique to lawyers, but people in general, is we are shooting for a number that is not based on what we actually need. It's shooting for a number that's like based on some vague idea of success. Or, for example, you might have some belief that says, well, I will be successful when I have $1 million business, right? $1 million law practice. That's what success means. And when I was building my practice, that is where I was coming from. I will say that I did not have this connection to what I actually needed to take home. And so for me, it was all about the $1 million law practice. And Dre, I wonder if it's the same for you. It was all about the $1 million business without an actual connection to what that would generate for you and what you would be able to take home.
Yep. You know, it's funny. I think that one of the tools that I think is really important to go through when it comes to this is the wheel of life, because I could talk about it probably more in a second, but you're exactly right, Al. If you don't put some sort of number or cap on it, or at least rate yourself on where you stand realistically, it makes it really easy to just chase some arbitrary goal that doesn't really mean anything. And then the funny thing is if it's an arbitrary goal and it doesn't really mean anything, let's say you get there. And then what? Then what happens? Like you have $1 million practice and then, well, okay, I got to have $2 million practice because it's an arbitrary goal. It doesn't mean anything.
Yes.
And by not adequately taking the time to set some goals, it really sets you up for failure. And so actually here's a perfect example. Is that once all of the astronauts, you know, John Glenn and Neil Armstrong came back from their landing on the moon, they all went into a deep depression because this had been the goal. This was the one singular goal that they had and that they were going to land on the moon and be the first people to do it. And then they came back to life and reality and the day-to-day sort of grind, and there was no additional goals that were created because that was the only thing. But it's so, so important to realize where you're going, like what that next goal is, but also find what is after that, but make them mean something, not sort of like $1 million a year or $500,000 a year, whatever the number is. Put some sort of meaning to it of what that creates, whether that's more time off at that point or more vacation time with your family, all of these sorts of things. And one of the things that I love is a statement from Randy Zuckerberg, Mark Zuckerberg's sister. Mark Zuckerberg obviously founded Facebook. Randy Zuckerberg says, you can work, you can sleep, you can have family, you can have your fitness, or you can have your friends, but you can only pick three on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And that's so true. And it's just getting really clear of, you know, what direction you're going and what you are focusing on and what is really leading you towards those goals and making sure that they really do mean something.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really important that it's actually all tied in to the life that you really want, your life as a lawyer is even more important than the work you do as a lawyer, because your life as a lawyer is what makes the work you do sustainable. It's what makes it so that you can do your lawyering work out in the world for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years and love doing it. And if you aren't having that life that you want to have, well, you're not going to be able to keep lawyering. You're going to get sick, or you are going to end up in a relationship crisis or a financial crisis, right? So we've got to base it in your life, your actual life. So what I want you to do is get really clear on how much money do you need to take home. Now, one of the things that I like to do in my own life is actually look at this at multiple levels. Look at this at multiple levels. So I like to look at it from the perspective of minimum to be happy. How much would I need to take home? Minimum to be happy. And that is like my stripped down life without all of the extras in it. And this is important for me because sometimes if I don't know what this number is, sometimes I can start to have escape fantasies. I don't know if you have escape fantasies, Trey, but you know that you're getting overloaded in your life and need to rebalance when you're having escape fantasies, right? So I'll just tell you, my escape fantasy is, well, I'm just going to move to Costa Rica and forget all this. I'm just going to move to Costa Rica and live on the beach, and I could live there really inexpensively. Do you have an escape fantasy, Trey?
Yeah, you know, for me, it is somewhere in the South Pacific, but yeah, pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. So I know that when I'm having really entertaining those escape fantasies, that there's a way that I have gotten out of alignment in some way. Like I'm either working too much, or I'm taking on work that isn't actually mine to do. We could do a whole episode on that. We're not going to get off track on that today, but I just want you to start to look for your escape fantasies. And if you have them, what I want you to do is identify the minimum amount of money that you would need to be happy. The minimum amount of money that you would need to be happy, maybe living out your escape fantasy. Because I think escape fantasies can be valuable to entertain in the right circumstances. The next level that I like to look at from how much you need to take home is what I call minimum to be of service. So if I am living on the beach in Costa Rica, I probably don't even have Wi-Fi. I'm like living in, you know, my like tribe community or something like that. That's not me being of service though, right? I'm not going to be serving people in that situation. I'm just at my minimum, barely, you know, to be happy. But to be of service, there's actually other things that I do need. I need support. I need Wi-Fi. You know, I need a car. I need an office, whatever you need to be of service. And then there is the preferred if I could afford it. The preferred if I could afford it. And what I like to do is measure where I am. And by the way, preferred if I could afford it in my terminology would include things like a weekly massage. Like if I can afford it, if I've got enough money coming in, I'm getting a weekly massage every week. That is like something that really nourishes my system. And so what I like to do is I like to identify where I am on an income perspective relative to those three levels, minimum to be happy, minimum to be of service, preferred if I could afford it. If I am already earning more than my preferred if I could afford it, then I need to start looking at how can I free up more time. I'm actually probably working harder than I need to, either with less support than I could really use, or maybe taking on more clients than I actually need, because I was just unconscious about it. And I had this idea that I needed $1 million law practice when really that wasn't necessarily true, right? So we got to get into what's true. Now, if I do those numbers and I find that I am like below my minimum to be happy or below my minimum to be of service, well, then I need to make some changes in my income model, because I'm never going to get to a life that I actually want if I'm constantly not making enough money to support the life that I actually want. So I'm going to need to revamp the way I deliver this, my services, the way I price and package my services. So that's step one, to get clear on what do you actually need to take home on a month by month basis in 2019? What are you actually shooting for? Okay. So you do that first. And then the next thing that you're going to do is you're going to look at exactly how many clients you would need each month and at what average fee for you to hit that take-home number, Now, in order for you to know what that number is, in order for you to hit that take-home number, you are going to need to know what your other expenses are, And that's going to depend on if you have a team, who's on your team, what are the costs of delivering your service, and then also what is an average fee that you know that you can generate from each one of your clients, and how long does it take to provide a service for that average fee. So we take you through this process of looking at all of these numbers in a free program that I created for you called Money Map for Lawyers. You can get that at moneymapforlawyers.com. And after you have completed that process, what you are going to know very clearly is, okay, I either want, let's say, a work from home pro model. So I don't have a bricks and mortar office. I work virtually, or maybe I go to my clients' houses, or maybe we go to a WeWork or Regis and I meet them there, whatever. And I have like one part-time person supporting me. Really, it's best if you have at least one part-time person doing the things that you really don't need to be doing, that you could pay somebody $20 to $40 an hour to do. Because your time is worth way more than that when you are educating your community and counseling your clients. And maybe you say, oh, look at that. I only need 4 to 6 new clients a month at an average fee of $3,000 to $4,000 each. And I will be able to take home $100,000 a year. And that meets my needs. Now you don't have to be working like crazy. You know exactly what you need to be doing. And all of your energy and attention can be focused on, okay, great. Where are those 6 clients going to come from? And how can I generate those 6 clients or 5 clients or 4 clients as efficiently, effectively, and affordably from a time and money perspective as possible? Not trying to save as much money as you can, but actually looking at what is the most money you could spend on generating those 6 clients every month. And I just want to drop a little seed in a bucket here, Dre, because I think many lawyers get really confused about this. If you want to take home $100,000 a year, from what I can tell, you need to bring in about $250,000. That's in the practice models that we teach. So if you want to take home $100,000 a year, what that means is that you are going to have $150,000 a year to spend on getting the support you need and getting the clients in the door to generate that $100,000 that you get to keep.
And the support staff.
Yeah, and the help.
Yep.
And then what we see the next model, right, is maybe you want to be what we call a part-time law baller. You actually want to have an office. You actually want to have a team of 2 to 3 people. You want to be bringing in around $650,000 a year. We know that with our model, $650,000 a year, you're going to be able to keep about $250,000 to $300,000 of that working part-time if you have the right team in place and you are efficient. And so what does that mean though? That means that your plan for 2019, if you're in that model, would be looking at how am I going to most efficiently, effectively, affordably invest or spend $350,000 a year on my team, on my office, and on my marketing, okay? Then the last model that we see is the seven-figure empire builder model. This seven-figure empire builder model, in that model, you're under our model, you're probably seeing 20 to 25 new clients a month. That is way too much for one lawyer, in my opinion. You can't really have a life and run a $1 million law practice if you're seeing 20 to 25 new clients a month personally. That's now a model where you have other attorneys, of counsel attorneys, who are seeing clients, and you're bringing in more than $1 million a year. You're probably keeping about 400 of that, 450. So what does that mean? It means you're investing or spending $500,000 a year plus, $500,000 a year plus on your team, your office, and your marketing. And your job as the seven-figure empire builder is not necessarily seeing and engaging and counseling the clients. It's educating your community and managing the spending of that $500,000 or $550,000. So I want you to start with this curiosity for yourself of which model are you building? Work from home pro, part-time law baller, or seven-figure empire builder? How much do you really need to take home? How much time do you have to create that, given the realities of your personal family life, your personal family situation, then how do you back into that business model for 2019 so you can have your best year ever? So I'm curious, Dre, how does that compare to your own planning, your own system for planning in your business?
You know, there's a lot of overlap. So the way that I run each quarter is I do quarterly check-ins and I do a really deep dive at the start of the new year, like it's coming up here. And so what I do to start off with is I go through the Wheel of Life. And so this is a tool that was popularized by Zig Ziglar, 20, 30 years ago. And essentially there's 8 components to this. And we'll have a little download or a little handout where someone can download this on the podcast episode page. But essentially there's 8 components. And there's the fun and recreation. There's your physical environment. Mm-hmm. There's your career. Mm-hmm. There's your money. There's health, family and friends, significant other or like your relationship, and your own growth, your own personal growth. So there's 8 components to this. And if you actually put them in a little wheel, and like I said, there'll be a graphic for you to download. If you put them in a wheel and were to rank yourself 1 to 10 on essentially the scale of each of these, and then draw a line across all of them, you'll see really how balanced or how unbalanced your life is. Mm. Because it's so important. Like money is important and laying the groundwork and foundation in your business creates, you know, less stress. It allows you to have more fun and recreation, allows you to have the time for personal growth. It allows you to spend more time with your significant other and spend more time with your family and friends, spend more time on your health, all of these things. But if we're not actually, you know, using metrics to track our own personal well-being on a quarterly and annually basis, I think it's really easy to get lost. So I go through this exercise once a quarter. But at the start of every year, I literally plan out my goals for each of those items for the upcoming year. So for the previous year, my goal was to lose 15 pounds and complete a half Ironman. Mm. I lost more than that and I completed the half Ironman. And so with that goal really clear and intentional about, you know, where I was going to be physically, it was really easy to follow up on where I would stand training-wise for that next goal. Mm-hmm. But I also, I do that quarterly and then I break it down monthly. And I really see where do I stand on each of these facets on a given monthly basis, because I want to be a well-rounded human being. I want to be a great husband. I want to be a great father. I want to be a great income earner and a great friend, all of these things. Mm. And I don't do it on a weekly or daily basis simply because I think that it's too difficult to almost reverse or create negative momentum by getting ourselves down if like, oh, I didn't work out today, I'm a zero. So I think it's good to really check in on a monthly basis and a quarterly basis with it. But I break it down and really my big goals for the week. And sometimes my weekly goals are largely money and career driven. Other weeks, they're largely significant other driven because I'm going to take a vacation with my wife. So there's more ebb and flow on a weekly basis. And then I also break it down every single day. And I literally plan every single day of what some of those big items are that I'm going to get done that day. And what I do is I typically only pick 3. I pick the top biggest 3 items that I got to get done that day to make the biggest impact. And this isn't the stuff of like the menial tasks. And I hate to say it's menial, but it's the task that could be put off on anyone else in your organization or outsourced to someone else that is not your superhero ability. Mm. And really focusing on those top 3 things. And that changes every single day. And I feel like if you can get as granular and as specific of finding 3 simple things every day that massively move your needle, then it's really easy to find yourself getting into momentum. Mm. And when you're on momentum and you're recognizing that you're improving, not only with your money, not only with your business, but as a human being and like across the board on this wheel of life, it's really easy to keep that momentum up and really feel good about yourself, your finances, your relationships, your business, and really everything across the board. So I highly encourage it. It's a great tool. It's a great resource. And I use it literally as a framework every single day.
Great. So you've got 2 resources here to plan your best year ever. You can go to moneymapforlawyers.com and you'll be able to download the tools that we've put together for you to map out exactly how many clients you need to be seeing each month and at what average fee to hit your personal financial and time goals so that you can have a life and law practice you love. And then Dre, on the show notes at ultimateattorneypodcast.com for this episode is going to share with you the resource that he uses to map out his life. He does it on a quarterly basis, and then he's able to work that backwards, not just focusing on his income goals, but his whole life goals to then work that back on from that quarterly basis to the monthly, to the weekly, and to the daily. In both cases, the tools that we are giving you are about you bringing more intention and clarity to your decision-making process. So you're not just saying to yourself, oh, well, this is going to be the year that I build a million-dollar law practice because that's what you think success is, but that you've actually intentionally designed your life. You have a law degree that allows you to intentionally design a life and a law practice you love. And that's what we want for you for 2019 so that you can be the ultimate attorney.
That's exactly right. And we really hope that these tools and resources create an immensely powerful and really beneficial impact for you in this coming year. And can't wait to hear how they've really impacted your life and your income as a whole as we proceed through 2019. So thank you for being with us. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We sincerely, from the bottom of our hearts, wish you an absolutely amazing and abundant 2019.
And we'll see you again next time.
Hey there, Dre Redford here, and I have one last thing for you. If you haven't already done so, please go to ultimateattorneypodcast.com to access all of the resources and free downloads that we've discussed in this episode and all of the other amazing episodes on the Ultimate Attorney Podcast. While you're there, be sure to look on the right-hand side of the page to enroll to receive some of our free premium content simply by entering your name and email address. Now, when you do that, you'll be the first to know when we release a new episode. You'll get all sorts of expanded resources and additional content that is only available exclusively to the listeners of the Ultimate Attorney Podcast. And while you're at it, as we said earlier, please be sure to share this episode with your friends, your family, and other attorneys who may benefit from this episode, because whoever shares these episodes and the Ultimate Attorney Podcast the most this month will win a product from either Ali or myself that's valued between $1,000 and $3,000. So what are you waiting for? Go share the Ultimate Attorney Podcast, and we look forward to seeing you in the next episode.